Well, we're back on a path dealing with truths unto godliness. I haven't been dividing these to your attention, but so far we've dealt with part one, Christian fellowship, part two, Christian conduct, our condition, and then Christian conduct, our concerns. Now we look at Christian conflict. This is not fighting between ourselves and so on. This is the conflict that we have been given to do the work. So tonight, let's look at becoming prepared, preparation for the good fight of faith. We see in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Elder Apostle Paul, writing to his young friend, they took him on in the missionary trip. His mother, his father had died, and he was had become a godly young man, good testimony. And so Paul said, well, how about if he goes with us and becomes the young man that goes and does stuff and handles things and learns the work? And his mother said that would be great. During that time, God began to use Timothy in a special way. He had a heartfelt heart that felt the need of the ministry. There came a time when he was ordained, and the laying on of hands of the elders of the presbytery. And at that time, the Holy Spirit gave prophecies about him, and evidently some things that indicated that he was going to be a pretty good worker. So the apostle now writes to him to encourage him, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So you've already professed a good profession, but let's keep it up. You have been called to this, and so it's a fight, but it's a good fight, and one that we lay hold on eternal life, and that probably meaning for others as well as yourself. The passage that I would like to turn your attention to is Ephesians 6. Now the apostle not writing to an individual, as he was with Timothy, but writing to the church at Ephesus, verses 10 through 11 and then 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now that'll be another study. We'll look at the pieces of the armor, what that means to us and how we do that. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the deceits of the devil. Now verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, or having overcome all, to stand. I was sharing this with my son one day, and they were dealing with this in the Bible school or something. And he said something about the fight, and I said, well, remember that we're limited in what we can accomplish. And the goal is to fight in such a way that at the end, we're still standing. We have no illusion of beating the devil in this stuff, but we can keep standing. We can be the testimony God wants us to be. Now, we're going to be looking at this piece by piece and just take us through this passage and try to emphasize it piece by piece. Ephesians 6:10, then, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So first of all, be strong in the Lord. Acknowledge your endowment of ability. Endowment, of course, meaning that God has given it to you. But recognize that he has given it to you. And strength is basically the ability. If you have strength to do something, you are able to do it. versus unable. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. People have often tried to break this apart and say, I can do all things. The focus here is through the strengthening Christ. So this is actually opposite from trusting in your own flesh. But I want you to realize that God has given you this ability, that you can be strong in the Lord, and accept the ability that God provides. So recognize you have it, and then act accordingly. This is the way God works. I was mentioning this morning in the invitation that Moses said to Joshua, God's taking me away, putting you in charge of the army, and you didn't get to go to military school, you didn't get to train any of this. But here's the deal. You do the fighting, God will do the winning. This is one of those great principles that he needs us, he wants us, he's called us to get into the fight. Now, we look ahead and say, oh, but what about this? What about that? What if that happens, you know? And God says, no, no, I'll take care of that. But you be strong, be courageous. You step forward, you see, and I'll handle the rest. He goes on to say, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the power. In the power. Now, this word for power is the mighty power of God, but Ephesians 1:19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, or the might of his power. So we enter into this battle, but let's recognize we are entirely out of our depth to enter this fight in our own strength. I'm not trying to sound scary or creepy, but these are demons who've been around since the beginning of time. And after the fall of Satan, they followed him. They have had practice in tripping people up, deceiving them, making them doubt God. They've had more experience than you and I all put together have life. So who are we to put up our dukes and say, well, come on, demon, I'll knock you out, or even worse, talk to the commander-in-chief of Satan himself, you know. You can pretend, but we're out of our depth to enter this fight in our own strength. What do we do? We must be clothed with the power of God. Now, not only is this then the power of God rather than us, but it implies something else. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the power of his might. Of his might. So let's look at of his might. This word is a word for strength, and it refers, generally as it's used, to physical strength. Now, this is that strength that he gives us, and sometimes Brother Gary's fighting these health problems, but for the most part, we're talking about the strength that says, even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to get up this morning, and I'm going to get back to the work that God's doing. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to battle sin in my life, and I'm going to stand against sin in the world. So it is your physical strength. Get up, do it, go back to work. The idea here, I believe, is that we may become weary in the fight, but we must never be weary of the fight. Don't give up. Don't get sidelined. You know, I'm going to get busy here in my rocking chair and just not go anyplace. You can get sidelined in these little little battles that people fight about this word and that word, that type of thing. Let's stay in the fight and not be weary of it. Ephesians 6:11, that you may be able. So being able, this is the ability mentioned in the word strong. The ability refers back to being in his strength, in his might, feeling his might, sensing his power, and this is your strength enabled by his power. So by accepting the defenses and the weapons that God offers, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the faith, these are all defenses. And then the sword, I guess there's other things, you know, feet shod and all this stuff. But the sword of the Spirit, that's for attack. Then also he mentions prayer, which I think is also one of the attacking weapons. But we may receive the offered ability to fight. So we can apply our strength while clothed with the armor of God. We're putting up the strength to do the fighting. God is doing the protecting. Then in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against. Stand against. Let me just emphasize that. To stand against, this is standing right up next to something. You're up against it, you see. This is not hurtling the balls of fire with your catapult at a distance, dropping bombs from an airplane. This is you with sword in hand, butting up against the other with your shield to the other guy's shield, and you're standing right there. You are up against the wall that you're ready to knock down. This word is used to be like Peter knocking at the door of the church. You're right at the place. This is Mary standing just outside the tomb of Christ. See? So, the battle that we are to be fighting here, we are not to be hiding around on the edges of the fight, looking at what's going on at a distance. He is calling us here to step into the fight, to use the words that he's given us, to use the battle strategy that he's given us, to speak the words of salvation, to speak the words of morality, to preach judgment to come, as the missionaries did. So, I mean, here's the concept. There's a battle to be fought, and we are the light of the world. Now, where is the light going to be effective unless it's shining into dark places, you see? We must go face to face with the powers of darkness. The light is always more powerful than darkness. You don't find a darkness beaming out of something that just covers your light. Your light dispels the darkness. And we are the salt of the earth. Well, you can't be an effective salt if you're not actually out on the food, on the things, keeping the corruption at bay and improving the taste of life itself. We are to oppose wicked corruption. Down through the years where we have seen industrialized corruption, we've seen the alcohol business, we've seen the drug market, we've seen the pornography business. We have not been silent as though, who's for us to say? I'll tell you who we are. We're the people that represent God. And God says, if you are deceived by these things, if you're relying on drugs and alcohol for your strength, then you have been deceived, for there is no strength there. It is death. And so they would speak out against these things. Now, I think sometimes it went too far because that was all they did. They thought they had a Christian victory if they closed down the saloons. And to some extent, that's true. People's lives were saved. Husbands and fathers were reclaimed because they saw it to be a wrong thing. But unless these people get saved, they just become a reformed sinner. So we need people receiving Christ as Savior. Heard an interesting testimony that we have in our midst, a person who got saved because somebody stole her wallet. How about that? Interesting thing. You'll have to ask Lisa about that. Interesting story. In verse 11, he goes on to say that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This fight is dealt on the basis of sneakiness, conniving. So the wiles of the devil, it speaks of cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. I found this has been a side benefit of studying magic tricks, because the whole goal of the magic trick is to do something that's ridiculously simple and make it look like it was impossible, to imply that something is being done that couldn't actually possibly be done. But it's entertaining because of that. I think it also is allows the person who receives it, their mind to say, maybe I don't know everything. this is interesting. So magic does that. I have found that the way I have studied to present magic is to lay an entire false trail for people to follow. And if they're following logically the false trail, then they're going to believe that I've done the magic, you see. And that's been instructive because emotionally and mentally, I do exactly the opposite when I'm preaching. That is, I'm not trying to lay anything but the absolute truth before you. This word for wiles is used in Ephesians 4:14, where it's talking about the purpose of the church, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by what? What tosses us around in doctrine? By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, sleight, this is sleight like sleight of hand, whereby, and here's our word, where they lie in wait to deceive. This is the wiles. See? This is what the devil is doing. He's playing a magic trick on you. He's saying, hath God said? Don't you realize he's only telling you not to do this because he doesn't want you to be in competition with him? You have the power to be like a god. How unlike God they became. So this is the deceit of the devil. Satan and his demons are great deceivers. They have, you know, just an entirely different way of looking at reality. I was looking at what some of the things that Brother June had in his notebook that he had copied out of their statements, and one of the things was that there were found remnants of early or pre-human characteristics, you know, people there. And of course, mankind began with Adam and Eve, so, and they were perfectly fine shape. They were not grunting and hanging over and dragging their knuckles. That's all just imaginary stuff that they're trying to prove. It's those things that's the narrative that they're trying to sell, that we evolved from the lower animals. Great deceivers. So what are we to do? Let us thoroughly soak ourselves in the absolute truth of the Word of God. It was brought out to us some time ago in a meeting we were attending as a church, as many of the people of the church, that when a person is studying counterfeit money. The thing they do is not look at and examine every kind of counterfeit money they can find. Because, if you think about it, there'd be no end to that. There'd always be somebody to come up with maybe a little better idea and so on. What they do is to study the real thing. They study it until they can see 100 things that you and I would never notice on the true bill. Then they look for those things. Somewhere along the line, they're going to find that the counterfeit didn't copy all those details. That's when they find it's counterfeit. Not by studying the wrong, but by studying the true. When we know the truth, if you think about it, trickery can no longer deceive us. You say, well, this is what's happening. That can't be true, because we know what God says is the truth. You are mistaken, or you're intentionally lying to me. Then he says in 6:13, that you may be able. And this word able is the same as that word strength that we were looking at, and is talking about your physical strength. Now we're back to you being tough, getting up, facing the foe again. You say, well, things haven't changed. Well, you're not here to change it. You're here to take, to present God before the people. That when they finally reject and stand before God at the judgment, they will have to admit that there was a person who told them the truth. Somebody revealed to them what they should have done. They can't deny it, that a preacher, a prophet, a preacher of the truth told them the right thing. The real question is not just our willingness to fight. Physical strength emphasizes it's our ability to fight such things, such an enemy. You learn how to be effective in the fight. Find out what works with you, your technique in battle. You learn this by failure. You try something, it doesn't work. But that, you know, stop thinking it was failure, start thinking it was feedback. You found out something that didn't work, well, try something else. When Moses turned the armies of Israel over to Joshua to fight against the powerful nations and the giants of Canaan, he urged him to rely on God's enabling. So I've mentioned this a few times. Let's look at the passage. Deuteronomy 31, 6 to 8. Old Moses says to young Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them." See? This is where Brother June's emphasis is faith over fear. See? Don't be afraid of them. "For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the night, in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage." You see, this isn't be effective. I like that. He's not saying you have to work out the program. I've got the program. You just be strong and of a good courage and get out there and fight. "For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Look how big the giants are and say, this is going to be great when they fall. We're going to be doing the fighting, but God is going to be doing the victory. Now, the city of Jericho, if you remember, they did this song and dance thing around, blowing trumpets and marching around. People saying, I see they brought the bagpipes, but they didn't bring the weapons, you know. And then the walls fell down. The power of God. Again, then in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand. Here's the very purpose of our fighting in this. To withstand, instead of standing just toward the enemy, withstand means that we stand against the enemy. Now we get kind of confused in all of this. We're to be love the sinner and fight against the principles of sin, try to win them away from this. But let's not make a mistake. We are against many things. We are against the wrong thinking, the wrong doing. We are against the things that actually hurt people, because how do we know it hurts people? Because God said it's sin. And that's what sin is. The loving God says, don't do this, it's bad for you and bad for others. It is an anti-standing, you see. That's the idea. Until the great king comes to do battle against the head of Satan, the most we can hope to accomplish is to stand against his minions. Not the cute little yellow ones, but all of the slimy workers of evil that are actually working for the devil. I want you to understand that what we do in this fight is not just symbolic. This is where we say, this is wrong, you ought not to do it, our government ought not to sponsor it. We ought to be that voice, you see. And you say, well, what business is it mine? You have been called to be an ambassador of King Jesus in this land. And they don't know it, but everybody in this land is going to answer to King Jesus. Now, I think they feel it. I think there is something in there that tells them this truth. But we're to tell them, this is fighting that fight. We withstand them. We stand against. Again, in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Here's the bad news, by the way. It's not a day out fighting and then rejoicing on the glorious day. In the evil day, this is literally in the day, the bad one. Have no illusions of a glorious war where we have no losses. This battle guarantees a really bad day. There's nothing that crushes me any more than hearing a preacher that stood for a while and then gave up. Young man, Brother Steve Caritsis had won him to the Lord years ago, and he grew and went to Heritage and started working with the church and was making progress, and then he just left his wife and took up living with another woman that he thought was prettier. How do you do that? How do you justify that? You just have to be sick of fighting and just say, well, I give in. And the thing is that his wife got sick and died within a few weeks after all this happened. There's nothing that, she didn't die of a broken heart or anything. She had a legitimate illness. The thing is, if he'd kept on the fight and wished that he had a prettier wife, God would have answered that. God would have given him that. But now, I've seen him since then. He's not pastoring, nor could he. But he is humbly serving God again. And glad to hear it. Able to withstand in the evil day. So, not everything we do is going to look like a success all at once. We're going to have some losses, maybe some tears. Then verse 13 says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all. The King James margin says that could be having overcome all. There may be a time when we actually have the success where, at least in our way, we have overcome all the enemy. We have been successful in our arguments. We have been successful in our naming sin as sin. So point 10, having done all or accomplished all, when we are ready to hang our sword on the wall and to rest on our deathbed to be taken to heaven, we have but one great hope. We have done everything we can, we have accomplished all we could, and we hope one thing is true, and that's point 11, verse 13. Having done all to stand, that we're still standing. Now, I put us in bed waiting for death, but in the stand that we took, we were true to the end. We're still standing. The last warrior standing, that's a definition of victory. We have successfully fought when we did not collapse in the fight. We stood with strength. Definition here of victory. We have successfully fought when we did not collapse in the fight. We stood with strength. We have successfully fought when we did not turn and run. We stood with courage. And we have successfully fought when we did not believe the enemy's deceit. We stood in his truth. So, truths unto godliness, truths to become a mature Christian. Let's recognize this is truly a fight. This isn't just a love fest. We are to love one another. We're to love the sinner and offer them opportunity to repent. But sin, we're against sin. We're against the work of the devil. And this is the battle that we fight. Don't compromise yourself in sin. In the fight. Let's be strong and of good courage. Father, we thank you for explaining to us what we're to do. It is not up to us to engineer the success, to manipulate the success. It is just ours to fight. Actually, the fight is fairly simple. The fight is to recognize that you have the truth, and the devil has his wiles, his deceit, his cunning lies. And we are to expose that. We're to claim that you have given us the truth. And that truth is good for us, good for our family, good for our neighborhood, good for our state, good for our country. I ask, Father, that you might help us then to truly hate the work of the devil, to find that we are motivated when we hear of these things multiplying, that we want to speak out with our voice as Christians, perhaps as one of a political party and so on, but to speak out because we're Christians, because we're on your side. Father, I just ask you might help us to taste the victory, or at least taste the battle, to understand that we've made something of a stand, and then understand there's a difference when we have stood for what is right and against what is wrong. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, Pastor, I'm not much of a fighter, but I can take a stand on what is true. I can understand it and then speak out when the topic comes up around me, or introduce the topic when someone brings up the advances of sin. I can do that if I were brave enough. And my friend, that's a choice. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Fight the good fight. That's what he tells the Ephesians. Get yourself prepared to stand against the deceit of Satan. I wonder if tonight you'd say, Pastor, I need prayer to take on that job, not just relax, to speak out against evil, to let my position be known. If that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. Help me to be the strong fighter that God calls me to be. Yes, amen, 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 amen. Father, then we submit to thee. Know that we can take the easy way and just be wishy-washy, let the wind blow us around, let the waves toss us around. We can be tossed to and fro by the deceitfulness, the lying in wait of the devil. Or we can stand firmly on your truth and proclaim that what you say is true. Help us to do that. Help us to be those warriors. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.